So friends, this morning, special guest, Dave Blakesley. Dave's been in the Arkansas Valley for years, and he runs a pottery ministry. In fact, when you walked in, you saw his pottery displayed in the foyer area. The reason that we put that out there is that Dave sells his pottery in order to support his ministry. And his ministry is he travels from church to church, from location to location, and he uses the potter's wheel as a way of bringing the gospel and explaining it in ways that open us up to it in new ways. And so this morning we have Dave here to present. And want to give you a special opportunity, especially children, kids that are here. If you guys want a closer view of watching Mr. Dave on his potter's wheel, I want to invite you up. You can come and you can sit on this area at the stage. And or you're more than welcome. You can stay at your seats. It's totally up to you and your family. But you guys can come on up right now if you want to come and be close. It's really fun to watch him working with the clay. And we want you to get a great eye. Parents, if you have young kids and you want to bring them up and have them here closer, you are more than welcome to do that. So, and with all that said.
All right. And I know that traditionally, a lot of times, the back row is like the favorite seat. But this is a visual message. So if you can't see this area right here, right now, I would really encourage you to find. There are a lot of vacant seats in the front row. And I know that's dangerous. That's a dangerous move. But if you really want to get into this, this is a good opportunity. It is so good to be back with you guys. I've spoken at this church, I'm losing track, at least three times before with the Potter's Talk. And I have a variety of messages that I've developed over the years, but I'm going to go back to my original message that I did here probably about 6 years ago, 5 years ago. And this church has, I always like coming here because something special always happens that God does. And for me, one of the things that happened the very first time I spoke here, there was a couple that came up afterwards, introduced themselves. They were visiting that day, and they frankly said, we were disappointed when the pastor wasn't going to speak because we were checking out this church. And I'm like, okay, good. But the woman said, I work at RBC Ministries, and she said it in a manner in which I should know what this is. You ever get in those conversations? And I'm like, blank. She said, well, we produce our daily bread, and we have a radio program, and then we have a TV program. She said, I would like to ask permission from you that I could suggest our TV producers come out and film you in your studio doing the talk. And so I did the two good, godly, male, Christian things to say. I said, well, I need to pray about it, and I need to talk with my wife about it. And both are very wise. So they came and filmed and produced this. It was a TV program that came out, I believe, in 2013. It's been shown several times now. This is the DVD that they produce, and they allow us to sell for ourselves. It is now the number one DVD they've ever produced. It won a Telly Award. They're just an incredible crew. It was so well done. I do okay, but they did great. And, of course, God is fantastic. It has sold 34,000 copies around the world. Praise God. So you guys have had a hand in the ministry that way. And I appreciate Pastor Zach inviting me back. Hopefully, is he on vacation? Good, 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 good. Pray that they'll have, yes, no? Yes, a great time. And in fact, let's do that right now. Lord, we just thank you for the ministry that you've given to Pastor Zach. We ask, Lord God, this be a time of refreshment, a time where they absorb abundant love from you. Relax. Lord, if you have desire for fresh vision, fresh anointing on them, Lord God, pour it on. Father, we thank you for this morning's gathering time together. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. Lord, let your kingdom come here in Buena Vista. Through these people here, I thank you for every person in this room that you know, that you have called, that that you have given ministry to, whether they know it or not. Lord, I thank you for that provision. In Jesus' name we all say, amen. Well, this morning's message, the theme of the message is that we are all created and called by God for purpose, and which he's going to invest into our lives as we grow up through our childhood, youth, and on. And it starts from the very beginning. In fact, there's an incredible how much God knew us. I got a little bit wrecked back there during worship with the last song. It's always, I kind of gripe with this with God, but not really, where, you know, I'm like, why do you always get me just before I have to speak, you know? But it just reminded me of a time when he was there. And God knows us from the very beginning. In fact, prior to what we would think of our beginning, Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. The word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Can I say that one again? God says to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Is that not a, oh my gosh, statement? How could God conceive of us before, you know, this is children's ministry, so we'll keep this real G. But before we're formed in our mother's womb. How can that be? The only thing that I can understand in my limited framework is, as an artist, I already see, and, you know, Isaiah 64, verse 8 says that, God, you are our Father, you are the potter, we are the clay. I, as a potter, already can see the shape. I already have in my mind's eye what I will form. I already see the purpose it will carry out. I see the colors. That's in a very limited way, I believe, what God is saying to Jeremiah. I saw, knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Each one of us has been created for purpose. We have different DNA. There's nobody else on the planet with your fingerprint. We are all unique in that. And in that uniqueness, we have unique history of growing up and living out our lives. We have unique gifting, unique experiences with Christ, unique spiritual gifts, unique callings. By the way, this is a dangerous place to be this morning, because I'm really inviting you to the adventure. You know, I'm 64 years old, so everybody's saying, so how's retirement? Because I did pastor for 22 years in Salida. But I'm not retired, I'm repurposed. Retirement is a figment of our imaginations, folks. And old is only a figment. Your joints may complain, but I'll tell you this. What God puts in here, that's forever. We go home with those dreams. We face Christ with our hands hopefully full of all the things, the purposes, the callings, the ministries that we've been called to as cashiers at City Market, as school teachers, as people hitchhiking and picking them up, or whatever it is that at that moment God says, do this. He's an active God. You know, I don't know about you, but I didn't sign up just to go to church. I love the church. I'm a pastor, and I love going to church, but so much more. All right. So, and now for some of you go, well, hey, you know, Jeremiah's in the book. I'm not in the book. Ephesians 2, verse 10, Paul speaks to all the rest of them. He says, for we are God's workmanship. That word workmanship is a word that is in the Greek, poemas, where we get the word poem or poetry from. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has prepared in advance for us to do. So as long as we have breath in our lungs here on this earth, we have a calling. And usually, let me give you a little heads up. Usually when God calls us into something, it typically is something either that we don't want to do, or, I mean, I got called into this ministry. I was like, this can't be from God because I'd love doing this. Everything else before, I was kind of like, really? Okay. Or we feel terribly inadequate. I mean, how many, let's just for grins, how many of you have ever felt God leading you into something where you're going, do you know who I am, God? I'm just totally inadequate. You know, I'm like 3.5 years old, a Christian, and our pastor leaves, and I get a word from the Lord saying, you're the new pastor. I'm like, yeah, right. Get thee behind me. And then I did the great arguments. None of you have ever argued with God, but you don't ever win. And even if you do, you lose. I said, I've only read half your book. Certainly you are not. And he did. And the search committee agreed with him. And I got kidnapped by God with my whole family. So, we are the clay. Take a look at it. Pretty simple, basic stuff. And, you know, clay is a substance. It's common all over the earth. But in order for this hunk of mud to become this, what's it require? It requires a potter, which is why the metaphor in Scripture is so good, in that over and over it compares, the word compares God with potters. And in the day of Scripture being written, potters were everywhere, because every vessel we would ever use was made by a potter. So there were potters on every street corner making pots, and everybody knew about that. So, you know, how is this clay going to become a pot? Well, in our country, you know, we're like pick ourselves up by our bootstraps, self-made people. So, go ahead. We'll call this pot Joe. If any of you out there are named Joe, it's not a prophetic word. So, Joe, do your thing. And Joe may concentrate. I am a pot. I'm a huge vessel. I'm a large, with shoulders and beautifully formed vessel. Just flowers in me. I am a vessel. I am a vessel. I am a vase. I am... Not much happening, Joe. Well, and then, you know, the next thing that you can do, you could say, well, I'll just hang out with one. Get real close. Not much happening. And the third attempt will be, well, I'll just kind of do what vases do. I'm not, I mean, you're kind of doing it, but it's not real good. You got much more potential in you. And that's kind of true for all of us. I think sometimes we desire to become something, and it may actually be something that God desires, but if we just do it on our own, we don't get very far, because we need a potter. And we need God through Jesus. And if you're at this point of your life or you're just beginning to check out God, let me tell you, this Son of God named Jesus is the most amazing, incredible relationship you'll ever have. So even today, if you just take one step closer as you listen, I hope that happens for you. I actually prayed to receive Christ and surrender my life at a potter's wheel in my studio years and years ago. And I waited till my mid-30s. I was a really no way guy for a long, long time. So the very first thing, in order for this clay to become a vessel, is it has to surrender itself to me. And we need to surrender ourselves to Christ. And in that process, you know, that inadequate feeling, oh, I can't do that, I don't know how to do that, relax. What did Jesus say to the four fishermen as he was walking along the Sea of Galilee? He said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So our part is just simply to come to Christ, than to follow him wherever he sends us, calls us, invites us, do whatever he invites us to do, and he will make you into whatever it is that he sees. Now, in the centering process, where the clay is becoming still, see, if it had that wobble and I went ahead and tried to make a vessel out of it, you guys would have it in your laps. And I don't think that would be, I mean, you might enjoy it. Yes, you would. But so I have to center it. In the centering process, clay is feeling the strength of the potter. The clay is becoming still in my hands. I would encourage all of us, no matter what stage we're at, that we develop a discipline in some manner that allows us to be stilled by God. It may be reading His Word. It may be worship. It may be walking out in nature and talking with God, which is what prayer is really all about, is just talking to God. But we become still in His hands, and then He can really begin the process. So as we do this, how many of you have ever tried making pots? Raise your hands. Yeah. Okay, you guys are my intercessors today. The next step that I'm going to take here is I'm going to make an impression, and actually a hole right in the very center of this clay. This is called opening up the vessel. And as I'm doing this, I want you to consider the fact that we invite Christ into our lives, into our work, into our family, into our relationship with others, into our fears, into our hopes. And God works from the inside out. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, I keep asking Him to grow more hair on the top of my head, but He's not interested in that. He really wants to work inside of my heart, inside of my soul and my spirit. As a potter right now, I am both creating the foundational shape of what I'm going to make. I am also checking out, are there air bubbles? Which I kind of connect with pride. Pride is a sneaky thing, isn't it? I don't talk about this normally in this message, so maybe it's applicable for me or maybe you. But we can get really proud about something and in our pride hide it away, huh? Pride is just simply thinking that we've accomplished all this great stuff. And He raises up the humble, which is a good thing. So the next stage is going to happen. It starts to get much more exciting, in which there's going to be a hand on the inside, hand on the outside, and the two hands will be pressing against the clay and bringing the clay up. And I think about it in terms of rising up in Christ or growing in Christ. So I just want to make mention of the idea that God really does communicate with us. He'll do it through His Word. He'll do it through His Holy Spirit, who Jesus said that God is going to give us another counselor. And counselors obviously talk and listen. And the Holy Spirit, of course, is only sharing that which comes directly from the Father. So it's words from God. And we're led by His Spirit. He will produce direction by the Word of God. Something will bounce, you know, up at you as you're reading Scripture. Maybe in dreams. Most commonly, just an inner nudging inside, just a thought. You might have thought it was your thought at first, but you weren't really thinking that thought. Those are some of the things that begin to guide us into the whole process of what ministries we all have. See, all of us are called into ministry, every one of us, not just pastors or worship leaders or whatever. We all have ministry. Ministry just simply means giving away what God has given you. That's all it means. So now as I apply pressure with working on the inside where the Holy Spirit will work on you, and then opportunities on the outside, doors that open up that we can respond to, pray about, and walk into, that begin to shape and form who we are. So I'm going to stop talking for a few minutes and let you just watch this rising up process. And as you do that, would you just consider what God has been recently showing to you? And are you pursuing that? I have a lot of pastor friends who are very jealous because they say, how do you keep people's attention without saying a word? I believe that for each one of us, we begin to learn how to listen, how to be, in a sense, shaped and formed into the invitation that God has for each one of us. I love the verse in Hebrews chapter 12. I haven't completely memorized it, but verses 1 and 2, in which The author states that there is a course, a race course, marked out for each one of us. I think of the cross-country races that we see in our foothills around here, and some of you probably run them. But it's a course that's marked out, isn't it? And each of us has a course marked out for us. You just need to gradually connect with it. You know, and as this pod is being shaped in the form I desire, just a quick thought. God has always been at work in your lives, even before you knew Christ as your Savior. And as you begin to work more and more in the directions that God has for you, various invitations, that's really what a calling is an invitation by God. We can look back on our lives and go, oh, that's why this happened. And that's why I had this opportunity. And, oh, you provided that for, I had no idea. You know, I didn't go to school a lot. I was a pretty sick little kid early on. But when I did go to elementary school, show and tell, man. It was my favorite. Get it? I mean, you know, I never showed up to third grade without something as an object lesson. And I was never afraid to speak, and I had lots of opportunities. And then I go to college, and I, just for the fun of it, take a pottery class. This is weird. Oh, this is really hard. This is fascinating. And I became a potter. And on the story goes, and I don't know each of your stories, but these are opportunities that God has given you that will weave together and become all that he's got for you. So as I'm stretching out this vessel, Cho is getting larger. And he's getting pretty excited about this. And this is Priscilla, the pitcher over here. Priscilla is a wonderfully godly pitcher. And she's so excited for Joe. She's looking at, well, look at what the potter is doing. He was just a hunk of mud a little while ago. Look at him now. My goodness, it's so exciting. It's like revival. I remember what it was like when the potter's hands were shaping me. And, oh, and I do remember. And it's been a while. And I almost wonder if he's forgotten me. And beloved, there are seasons in our life when the potter sets us aside for perhaps Sabbath or for a little time of maturing. He hasn't forgotten us. You see, if Priscilla is not going to become a pitcher until I put a handle on her, and if I try to put a handle on her right now, she's still very soft, and it would totally deform her shape. So I have to wait until the clay stiffens up a little bit, and then I can add the handle. There will be times in our life when, man, it's just go, 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 and suddenly, what happened? Nothing seems to be happening. And we're a nation of go, go, aren't we? And our media technology encourages that all the faster. Immediacy, now, now, now. Don't want to wait, don't want to wait. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And pretty soon, when she's ready, I'm going to put a handle on her. And I'm watching her all the time. So Joe here is looking pretty good. We might do a few other adjustments to him. But for right now, you know, I mean, Joe can look at me as the potter and as we might say to God and say, I'm ready. Let's do it. Let's go for it. Africa. You know, whatever. And I'm like, Joe, you're not quite ready yet. What does Joe need? What does Joe need to become really strong and solid? Fire. Fire? Time and fire. Good job. So this young man up front here was the first guy up here. And he's the one who just says, what do we need? And he says, wait. Time. I'm like, how old are you? 10. 10 years old, he already has figured this one out. Some things take time. So I don't know if your parents are here, or grandparents, or whoever brought you, but you've done well. God's doing great stuff with you. What's your first name? Dylan. God bless you, Dylan. So time and fire, they go hand in hand. And I am watching time, by the way. The firing process to me is a pretty intense process. My pots get glazed. I place them into this huge kiln, which I can stand up inside of, put 200 or 300 pots in, and I heat it up with gas flame, up to 2,000, almost 400 degrees, which is hot. And what I equate with that in terms of our own life experiences with God is that there are times in our lives where we are really wrestling with a situation. In fact, you know, Pastor Chris was singing about that in the last song, where it's just difficult, it's hard. We're going through maybe loss or tragedy or challenges that we don't know if we can overcome this. And we're wondering, where's God in this? This is not what we expected. And as I put those pots into the kiln, and my kiln is outside my studio, it's kind of like, well, we've been with the potter all the time in the studio, but what's this? And then I break up the door, and they can't see me anymore. And you know, whatever challenge, big or little, there is that question of, God, are you still with us? Why are you letting this happen? And the answer is yes. As a potter, especially as the kiln gets really hot and at a dangerous time, because at the peak of the firing, if I let it go too hot, the pots will warp, they'll melt out of shape, the clay actually turns glass-like, the glazes obviously become glass. It's like our faith. Our faith will only become our faith strong if we go through prison, cancer, separation of loved ones, loss of loved ones, lose a job, whatever the deal is, where we go, no! Understand that God is with you. David said God is a very present help in times of trouble. He's always present. He's really present then. If anybody knew times of trouble, David knew times of trouble. So at the peak of the firing, the wind comes up, storms blow by, whatever. I mean, this is like a 40-hour experience. I don't sleep. I am with those pots, making adjustments with the kiln. God is with us, even if it's the ultimate test where we face death. As believers, I've been around a number of death experiences lately, close people to me, and I recognize, boy, the dying process is not a fun thing. But there is glory beyond, as believers, there is glory beyond death. Because Christ took our sins and death to the cross and won and rose again as proof to that. And in Him, we have the hope, no matter what comes against us in this fire of our lives. And usually we'll have multiple fires. We will come through on the other side. Because He is the God who said, I am. Meaning, I am with you. I am always. I am good. I am love. I will not forsake you or abandon you. So take hope. Take courage in this process. And when the firing is over, I turn everything off, begins to cool down, open up the kiln. I take out every pot. I'm so excited to examine each one of them and welcome them back out again. And there is that kind of welcoming experience when we come through the fire and God embraces us again and says, I see you. You're ready now. You're ready to really minister. You have authenticity of faith that you didn't have before. So I take these pots out, I bring them in my studio, I prep them, and and I didn't make the pots to keep in my studio. I have a pretty good-sized studio. It's about almost half the size of this room, if you took the whole space in. But I'd, you know, over a couple of years, I'd fill up the whole studio with pots. I made these pots to go out because I have purpose for these pots of mine. Just as this room right here, this is a studio of God. This is a workshop of God. As much as you may enjoy coming here and being here, you don't get to stay here. This is workshop place. This is where God is going to form new ideas, train you up, encourage you, inspire you, meet with you. But then you're to be sent out. Just like this vase will go out to somebody's home and be filled with flowers. And, you know, all the other pots that I make, I've made them for to be used, to be functional. Shaped for that purpose, just as you and I are shaped for the purposes God has in mind for us to display his workmanship. So, now, some of us, it doesn't matter what size we are. Some of us are called into fairly prominent, you know, callings, invitations. And so, like this vase will probably not sit in a cupboard somewhere or down in the basement. It's probably going to sit in a prominent spot where everybody who walks in the house is going to see it. And we, if we're called to a role like a pastor or a worship leader or evangelist, highly publicly seen, whatever, we have to guard our hearts because it's very tempting to become proud and forget that we were really made by God. We didn't make ourselves. God called us to this. And so beware of pride because a vase can become a vase. It's a very slight twist. And pride is that way. It's very slight. And the vase can look at the mug and go, "Oh, I'm so sorry. You're so little. Mug. You're like a couple letters away from mud." Whatever you have been called to, Jesus said, whatever talents have been given to you, invest them. Multiply them. Live it out to the fullest. Whatever your calling is, big or small, give it to Christ and let it multiply. Endeavor for that. Know who you are and be really glad that this is how God has gifted you and formed you. And so this little mug says, "Hey, Voss, you know what? I really like being a mug. I live in the cupboard of my master mistress's house. And every morning they get up. First one that gets to the cupboard gets me. I'm their favorite mug. And they take me over and fill me up with coffee or hot tea or chocolate. Take me to their favorite seat, sit down with me, hold me close, and I refresh them. I like being a mug." Whatever God's called you to, follow him. Let the Holy Spirit gift you and empower you to carry it out. Fight off the lies of the enemy. Be all that God has called you to be. I got one more thing I want to share with you. Close out. I have this vessel back here. And I made a little bit earlier. And there's some of you in this room right now that this may pertain to. And even if it's just one person, I think it's important. I know it is. So, you know how it is when we go out into public, go out the front door, see our neighbors, whatever. We always, you know, everyone says, "How you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing great. Fine. Good." We put the best face forward. We even sometimes do it in church, which is where we should be the most open and the most available. But there may be somebody here or several somebodies this morning that, as I've talk to you about, you have a special purpose, special calling, special ministry, special adventures that God has put dreams and visions into your heart and mind for. And you're going, "Dave, you just don't know me. You don't know what I've been through, what's been done to me, sins done to me, or sins that I've done. You don't know about my time in prison. You don't know about my addiction. You don't know about my brokenness. I'm is when you go home and when you look in your own personal mirror, is what you see. You see the brokenness. And there's a part of you that, as I've shared this message about calling, that you frankly feel disqualified. It's good for other people, but I can't do that. Sure, I have some dreams, but let me tell you this. I'll tell you what God thinks. And this is how God thinks. Whether it's sin that you've done or sin done against you, there's a story that Jesus taught. He was talking about the nature of the Father. He's talking about God. He said there was a man who had, and this man represents God, there was a man who had two sons, and a younger son comes to the father and he says, "Father, give me half of all that you own in cash." That's the NDV version, New David version. Give me all the cash, half, you know, my half of the inheritance. And Jesus said the father gave it to him. We don't know how old this young man is. I'm thinking he's probably a teenager. And off he goes, independent, far, far, far away from his father. And he spends the money however he wants. We don't know exactly how he spent it. But it was gone. Lots of money. Pretty soon he was penniless. And at that time, a famine came on the land. And there were no jobs. There was no extra food. It was desperate times. And the only job that this young man could find was feeding pigs for a pig farmer. And the farmer wouldn't even let him eat the pig food. And he didn't pay him and he didn't give him any food. And after a week or two, the young man got desperately hungry. Jesus said he came to his senses. Understand, it was his senses, his thought. And his thought was, "I've ruined my life. I've lost everything my father gave me. I'm a wreck. But I could go home and work. I can't be his son. I'm no longer worthy for that. But I could go work for him. Because he feeds his servants. And he clothes them and he gives them shelter. I don't have that here. I'm going to go back and work for him." So he starts returning home. Long journey. And as he's returning home, and worship team, why don't you come on up? As he's returning home, he's, I think, practicing what he's going to say all along the way. I've sinned against heaven and against my father, and I'm no longer worthy. And Jesus said that the father was outside. I see him sort of like on a front porch of a big ranch, you know. He's looking out over all the fields. And all of a sudden he sees this little figure way off in the distance, Jesus said. And watches. And suddenly he goes, that person looks familiar. And then he realizes, it's my son. And this dignified old man hikes up his robe. And he starts running across the fields to his boy. And he gets close to him, and the son cries out to him and says, "Father, I've sinned against heaven, against you. I'm no longer worthy to be your son." And the father responds by taking him into his arms and embracing him. And that's how God feels about any of you right now that are broken and you feel disqualified. And this is what God promises for you. Listen to what the father said to his servant. He said, go kill the fatted calf, the best one we got on the ranch. Slaughter it. We're going to have a barbecue feast tonight. We're going to invite all of Buena Vista. Because my son was lost. Now he's found. My son was dead. I couldn't see him. Now he's alive. Go get a robe. Get the robe, the family robe, and put it on him. We're going to put it on him. Yeah, he's a mess, but he's come home. We're going to put that robe all around him so that everybody sees him, knows he's part of the family. Go get the ring. The ring with the crest on it, that's the family crest. So that every time he presses it into a document, it bears the seal of my name. Because he's got my authority, because he is mine. You know, when we've sinned and when we've gotten broken and all busted up and a wreck, one of the most important things we ever hear from the Father is, you are mine. Through my Son, you are mine. Oh, go get the sandals. You know why sandals? Remember, this boy wanted to go home and work for food and work for lodging. In the days of Jesus, no servants, no slaves were allowed to wear sandals or footwear. They had to go barefoot. So when the Father puts on sandals on his Son, he's saying to his Son, you can't work for my love. It's yours, because you're my Son. And you can't work for my provision, food on the table. You can't earn it by working. You just sit down and eat it because you're mine. And you can't work to live in my house. It's all grace. It's all love. It's ready for any one of us that wants to come on back home. If you've wandered far away and you have known Christ, this is a great moment to re-enter again. Take the journey home. Discover the love of God for you. I'm not telling you about something that I've read about. I'm telling you something that I know. And if today you have not yet fully believed in Christ as the Lord, as the Savior, it's real, I would certainly invite you to take one step closer. Maybe even the step that says, I believe in you. I want you as my Lord. I want you as my Savior. This would be a great morning to do that. So those of you who are on the care team, why don't you come on up so we have some people that can be praying for people. Any of you this morning, let's stand up. Any of you that would like prayer, come on up front. These kids, they're anointed. Man, they're ready. They'll pray for you. Thank you so much.
Friends, arms of the church is open. As you're leaving today, we're going to continue in worship. And if you have any prayer needs, members of the care team, Dave is up front. Love to pray for you, pray over you. Invite you to come forward, bring those things to the foot of the cross and to our Lord, who's capable of receiving them, who longs to receive them, who longs to receive you. So thanks for the gift of this morning. Thanks for sharing it with us. And go in peace. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord. Amen. Have a great day.